Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. We love hearing directly from you, you know. If it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, we want to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a question or something you'd like to discuss, well, that's why we're here live for you. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As you were saying, we do have open lines, and that number again, 844-322-2742. We're talking about the essentials of our faith. What are the building blocks? What do we stand on? Well, we stand on Jesus. He's the foundation. But we also stand on the work that he's accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. And we're the beneficiaries of that work of grace. We receive those gifts of grace. We talked about that on Friday's edition when we went through one of my top 10 favorite passages, Ephesians chapter 1. Mm-hmm. We see all of these wonderful spiritual blessings that we have in Christ that have been lavished upon us by the very grace of God. Today, we're going to look at a passage out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this can be a confusing passage if you don't read it in context. A lot of folks who teach that you can lose your salvation point to this verse, but they don't read the whole passage. Mm-hmm. And when you read the whole passage, you realize that that's not what Paul is teaching at all. So he says this: "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" So there's a group of people that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what is that group? Well, it's the unrighteous group, those who are unrighteous. It says, "Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So that's a list of all the unrighteous,
right,
that are in the world. And so if you're identifying with any one of those things, that you're sexually immoral or an adulterer or any of that, mm-hmm, you're a part of that unrighteous group. But then he goes on to say, and he's writing to the church at Corinth, and the most immoral church that's ever been. You know, there's lots of people, Bob, that say, "Hey, we just need to go back to the age of the apostles," mm, "and follow those churches and do what they did." It's like the Corinthians. You want to, yeah, be like the Corinthian church? Really? You want to be like them? Mm. Oh my goodness, no! They're not the model for what a church is supposed to look like.
No.
And so they were practicing a lot of this stuff. They had believed the gospel, yet they brought over a lot of their old practices, mm-hmm, and activities.
Old pagans.
Yeah, absolutely. And Paul was getting on to them for that. But here he says something really important. It says, "The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you." All of us were unrighteous in and of ourselves. We had no righteousness that we could offer God. And our righteousness was nothing more than filthy rags, as the Old Testament says. But he says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Mm-hmm. So we were once unrighteous, and an unrighteous person cannot be in relationship with a righteous God.
Right.
We were unholy, and an unholy person cannot be in relationship with a holy God. And so what did God do? Well, he made unrighteous people righteous. Mm-hmm. How did he do that? By the blood of Jesus Christ and by the work of God's Spirit. We were unholy. So what did holy God do? He made us holy. He sanctified us. We were unclean. What did God do for us? He cleansed us by the blood of the Lamb. So, yes, we were once unrighteous, but we have been taken out of that group by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did that saving grace do? That saving grace washed us. That saving grace sanctified us, made us holy. That saving grace justified us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. This is truth we must never forget.
Yeah.
The accuser is constantly trying to cast doubt in all of those areas. You call yourself clean after what you just thought, after what you just did, and you start listening to that stuff, and you doubt the work of Jesus on your behalf. You think you're holy with that action. How can you call yourself holy? How can you call yourself righteous in the sight of God? Well, it's not by my works. It's by the work of Jesus Christ. He's the one that cleansed me. And if he cleansed me, I'm clean.
Yeah.
He's the one that made me holy. And if he did it, I'm holy. He's the one that made me righteous. And if he did it, I'm righteous in the sight of God. All that happened by the saving grace of the Lord Jesus.
And Bob, we think that this is a message worth supporting. And friends, we hope that you agree. When you give to support this message that you hear every day on Basic Gospel, of course, you have a part in touching lives here at home and literally around the world. And we think you agree. This Basic Gospel message really needs to keep going, reaching out as far and wide as possible, telling the story of the good news of God's love, grace, and life in the Lord Jesus Christ, changing lives. Help us keep it going, friends, by making your October gift today at basicgospel.net. And to say thank you for standing with us, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths to Help You Grow in God's Love and Grace. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net and partner with us if you can. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call right now. If you're hearing the broadcast at about 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And again, we want to hear from you at 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. KC is watching us on our YouTube feed, and she has a great question. She says this, is water baptism necessary to receive the Holy Spirit? That's a great question. And the short answer is absolutely not. Water baptism is not essential for salvation. It's not part of the gospel. So when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive his life, and that life is given to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. So that happens the moment that we're saved, the moment that we believe. So when that gospel message hits the heart and stirs us to respond to that grace of God by faith, then we're saved. What does it mean to be saved? Well, it means that we've been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that we receive forgiveness of sins, that we're made holy in the sight of God, that we're given the very righteousness of God, we're new creatures in Christ, we're children of God, and God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. And that Spirit seals us until the day of redemption, the day when Jesus Christ comes back. So all of that happens the moment of salvation. Now, water baptism is something that we can do after salvation to say publicly to fellow believers that we have now fully identified with Christ. We've been buried. We've died with him. We've been buried with him, and we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. So it's a celebration. Water baptism is a celebration of what God has done for us in the person of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It's a public display of what he's already done internally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
absolutely.
That's a great question.
So water baptism is not a part of the gospel message. It's not necessary for salvation. It's not necessary in order to receive the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, you already have the Spirit living in you, whether you've been water baptized or not.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for reaching out. Hope that's a help to you. Again, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you on this edition, 844-322-2742.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk to Mary Jo. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. My cousin stopped by the other day, and she was upset that her son's friend had committed suicide. And when they went in the house, they found all the satanic paraphernalia. But my question is this. Even though he might have been that, he might have been overwhelmed and everything, he might have asked the Lord into his heart. Was it too late for him?
Well, it's never too late as long as somebody has breath and can respond to that offer of life in Jesus Christ. Certainly, there have been many, you know, quote, deathbed conversions. Certainly, the thief on the cross is one example that we see in the Word of God. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So it's never too late for that to happen. I remember a gentleman that I was able to share Christ with, and he was 87 years of age, really on his deathbed. And in that conversation, his heart was pricked in such a way that he responded to the good news. And just 3 weeks later, he was absent from the body and present with the Lord. So, no, it's never too late. Somebody can be, you know, controlled by those powers of darkness, and yet the light of God's Word, the light of truth, can penetrate through that darkness and open somebody's eyes to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So you never know. So there's always this sense of hope that if somebody passes away, that maybe in that last moment they had that opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. But once they take that last breath and they're absent from that body, then, as it says in Hebrews 9, then comes the judgment. So it's only receiving Christ during this earthly life. Does that make sense, Mary Jo?
Well, I mean, there was hope, even though he had satanic paraphernalia, that if he somehow reached out to the Lord, then the Lord received him.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and that can happen at any point in a person's lifetime.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mary Jo. Thanks for your call.
Yeah. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us. We have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. And friends, to build your maturity and aid your understanding of God's grace, we invite you to visit our online store. You'll find it under resources at basicgospel.net. There you'll find a growing list of the materials to help. Again, you'll find it under resources at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, as you and I and everybody knows, addiction is a big issue, and it takes many, many forms. But we're gonna talk, and we're gonna listen to this question from Derek, who is suffering from that particular addiction.
Hi, guys. This is Derek. This is my second time calling. I think I missed you last time, but I'm a Christian that has an addiction to drugs and alcohol off and on throughout my Christian life, and it's frustrating. I'm staying out of a 12-step group. And people think I'm foolish for doing that. I'm believing Jesus is the answer to my sin solution, the solution to my sin. And maybe I'd just like your comments, please. Thanks.
Well, Derek, thank you so much for reaching out to Basic Gospel. We appreciate the question, and we appreciate your desire to see victory in this particular area of your life. And I think the way you pose the question, you're on the right track. You talk about the fact that you're a child of God, you're a Christian who has problems with addiction. So you're not identifying yourself with your addictions. You're not saying you're an alcoholic. You're not saying you're this or that. You're saying you're a child of God. So if you've really come to know Jesus Christ and Christ has come to live inside of you, you are a new creation. You are a child of God, and that is your forever identity. So that's where you need to start, Derek, is learning who you are in Christ. And as you learn who you are in Christ and understand that you have been cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, that you have been made holy in the sight of God, that you have the very righteousness of God, because he who knew no sin became sin so that you could become the righteousness of God. The fact that you have the Holy Spirit living in you and the love of God has been poured out in your heart, then that begins to shape how you think about your life. And what you'll start to understand is that God's desire for you is for you to experience his life to the full. So Jesus Christ came, Derek, that you might have life and have it abundantly. So that's what his desire is. That's what he wants. And so the way you're going to experience this is by faith, trusting Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to do his work in and through you. And as you walk in the Spirit, you're not going to gratify the desires of the flesh. So you seem that you have your identity, you know who you are, but you're trying to use this identity to fight against an addiction. And I think what God is wanting for you is to use this identity to look how you can experience his life to the full. And the byproduct is you're not going to give in to those desires of the flesh. So that's a real important distinction. So to help you with that, Derek, we'd like to send you some resources that I think would be just so beneficial to you in your day-to-day walk with the Lord. And if you will write to me, bob@basicgospel.net, identify yourself, give us all your contact info, then we'll get these resources to you. And then the second thing is that you don't want to go this alone. That's why some of those AA meetings are beneficial, because you're connected to people. But what I would encourage you to do, Derek, is to get involved in a church, involved in a small group Bible study, whether it's a home group or whatever it might be, so that you're connected to some people and that you're growing some relationships, and you can talk about things that are going on in your life. There was a study that was done not too long ago, Bob, about some folks that came back from Vietnam, and they were all worried that because drugs were so prevalent over there, that many of those that got addicted to drugs while they were in Vietnam were going to have a hard time re-assimilating mm-hmm. into society.
Uh-huh.
And they tracked some different people, and they found that those that came home and got involved in groups, whether it be a church, whether it be, you know, a softball team or something mm-hmm. like that, being involved in community broke that addiction. And they re-assimilated into society quite nicely and didn't have any problem with those drugs that they had a problem with while they were in Vietnam. So it's very important, Derek, to get involved with a group of people, particularly grace-believing believers, folks who know the Lord, who know the love of God, who aren't going to judge you, but who will be an encouragement in your life and who would be open to being encouraged by you in your journey as well. So those are the two things that I would say. Mm-hmm. Keep learning who you are in Christ, and we've got some resources that can help, and get involved with a community of believers that can speak into your life.
Again, Derek, be sure to contact bob@basicgospel.net with your contact information so that we can send those resources to you. Again, bob@basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to talk to Edward, listening to us to WMUZ in Taylor, Michigan. Hi, Edward.
How are you doing?
Doing well. How about you, my friend?
Well, I'm pacing the floor here. I would like to ask you a question. I am holding a picture I had made this morning, Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. I had an experience back in 1985. I went through a bad divorce. Love broke me. I loaded up a Browning Sweet 16, and I was going to end it. And as I was laying in the bed with my knees up to my chest, rocking, I kept looking at this gun, and finally I said, "Help me, God, I can't take no more." Instantly I heard a voice just inside of me say, "Now you know what it's like to be an embryo in your mother's womb." Then I heard the most beautiful heavenly music, and they were singing Praise Him, Praise Him. And I mean, I grew up on rock and roll. I'm 66. And I used to go all the dances. This music used to move me, but this put it all to shame. I wasn't looking at that gun anymore. And I was wondering, I've always lived with this, about this embryo thing. I was at a gas station yesterday. I talked to a girl that I always talk to. She works there. She said, let me show you a picture of my grandson, Ed. And to my amazement, she shows me a picture on her phone of what the images of that they take of women.
Sonogram.
Embryo.
Uh-huh.
Sonogram.
Yes.
It was like amazing. So here I am thinking about this all night. I'm on YouTube, and I'm listening to Dr. Jeremiah. What is his name? Johnson, is it? Anyway, I'm looking at all of this and listening about the embryo. This morning, out of the blue, my daughter texts me, sends me a picture that I'm holding now that I had made this morning. And she says to me, Dad, I was thinking of you when I seen this. Because I told her and my grandkids the story of what Grandpa experienced years ago. And it was so real. It is real. So anyway, I had to go have this picture made this morning, and I'm going to see the girl. She wasn't working this morning, but I want to let her know what happened from the time she showed me that picture, you know, until today, and what I experienced years ago. And this wasn't the first time. I'm 66, and I know, to me, I think it's a shame I've only heard God's voice twice in my life, and the first time was when I was holding my dad when he died. I was a bitter man. When he had lung cancer, I went to the hospital, and I come home in my room. I get on my knees and pray, God, let my dad live. I'll serve you. I'll go to church. I was cutting this big deal back in 1983. My dad got worse and worse, and now I become a bitter, bitter man. I come back to that same room and locked it. The doctor said there was no more they could do, and he's withering away. So I locked that door, and I knocked my wife's Avon all over, tipped over the dressers. I had a temper tantrum, you might call it, at 30 years old. And my wife, who was a good woman, I'm divorced now, but my wife was a good woman and a good mother until cocaine entered the picture. And she said, let me in, Ed, you're not handling this well. And I said, shame. I said, get out of here and leave me alone.
Well, Edward, I don't mean to cut you off. We're almost out of time on the broadcast today. But I want to say thank you so much for calling. And the testimony, the story is quite moving, to think that you were at the point of almost ending your life, and yet something stopped that, and the God stopped that. And God wanted you to have life, wanted you to have the very life of Jesus Christ. And that's his offer to you, is life.
Yes.
Jesus Christ came that you might have life, and that you can have it to the full, and that life is available through faith in Jesus Christ. Edward, he died, and he took away all your sins so that you could be forgiven, and then he was raised again so that you could have life everlasting. And boy, that's good news, isn't it?
Oh, I feel good right now. I'm so glad I got through to you, to tell my story, and you telling me what you're telling me, because I know it's a God's truth. And my family, except for my ex-wife, she's, you know, straightened her life out. But my family, I got my two kids, and I raised them. We stayed together. So this is what he's given me. I have grandchildren. I have a great-granddaughter. And that's what he gave me.
What a blessing.
That's a beautiful story. Well, Edward, hold the line. We're going to send you some things that I think you'll really enjoy and will be a benefit in your life. So hold on, Edward. We'd love to get those to you.
Yes, indeed.
I thank you.
Well, friends, thank you for joining us today for Basic Gospel. If you have any question that you'd like us to answer, or anything about something you've heard, well, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, available 24 hours a day. Or you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Either way is a great way to contact us and get your question to us. Well, once again, our deepest thanks to everyone who helps keep this program on the air and online. You are the reason that we're able to be here every day with
with this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We encourage you. Donate today to help us keep it going. You can do so at basicgospel.net. And as you make your October gift, we'll send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel, as our way of saying thank you for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob and the team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.